Don't worry, I've not lost the plot. You might be wondering what I'm doing, but don't worry, there's method in the madness. There always is with me. Obviously, Jesus didn't walk around wearing things like that. But just imagine if he did. Imagine Cleopas and his companion walking along the road. One says, "Do you think this bloke following us is Jesus?" And the other one goes, "No chance. Look at the glasses, the eyebrows, and I don't know what's going on with that nose." Now, obviously, that isn't what happened. Jesus wasn't wearing a disguise. Yet, in one sense, he may as well have been. Because for around 7 miles on the road to Emmaus, they walked with him. They talked with him. They listened to him teach. Thanks, Mike. And they still didn't recognise him. And that raises a fascinating question. How can someone spend hours with Jesus and not know it's him? And perhaps there's an even more personal question. Have there been times in our own lives when Jesus has been walking beside us and we simply just didn't recognise him? Let's read together from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Excuse me. He wasn't playing music. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us.'" Where are we? No, I am with us. I've lost where I am now. "But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So that story takes place on Resurrection Sunday. The women have been to the tomb. They discovered it's empty. They've told the disciples. Peter went to investigate. But these two disciples have had enough. They're leaving Jerusalem. They're walking away. Luke tells us they were discussing everything that had happened. Can you imagine that conversation? We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to save Israel. What do we do now? Then Luke tells us something remarkable. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Just notice that phrase. They were kept from recognizing him. This wasn't because Jesus looked different. It wasn't because they weren't paying attention. God had not opened their eyes. Sometimes we think if only we'd seen Jesus physically, everything would be easier. Yet these men were literally walking beside him and they still couldn't see who he was. Jesus then asked them a question. What are you discussing? Of course, he already knows. But he wants them to tell him. And God often does that with us. He already knows what's on our hearts. But he invites us to speak, to bring our disappointments to him. One disciple looked astonished. "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happened?" I love the irony. They're explaining the greatest event in history to the one who actually lived it. Then comes one of the saddest verses. Verse 21. "But we had hoped." Three simple words. We had hoped. We've probably all said those words. I've hoped that the doctor would give different news. Hoped that a relationship would work. Hoped I'd get that job. Hoped things would be different by now. Disappointment is something we all understand. These disciples believed everything had fallen apart. They weren't just grieving. They believed God had failed. Yet here's the amazing thing. While they were talking about losing hope, hope himself is walking beside them. Sometimes we pray, "Lord, where are you?" Perhaps the Emmaus story reminds us he may be much closer than we think. Jesus then says something that almost sounds surprising. "Oh, foolish ones." He's not insulting them. He's lovingly correcting them. Then Luke tells us something I wish had been recorded word for word. "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained everything concerning himself." Can you imagine just listening to that Bible study? I'm sorry, you do a great job, Mike, but I think that one would be better. Genesis, Exodus, Isaiah, the Psalms, showing how every part pointed towards him. Notice what Jesus does. He doesn't perform another miracle, and he doesn't immediately reveal himself. He begins with Scripture. Because before he opened their eyes, he opens the Bible. And that's still how he works today. Sometimes we want God to change our circumstances, and often he starts by changing our understanding. Eventually, they arrive at Emmaus. Jesus acts as though he's going further. They urge him to stay. He sits down, takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it to them, and then Luke says, their eyes were opened. Not because Jesus suddenly changed, they changed. God opened their eyes, and suddenly everything made sense. Then immediately, Jesus disappeared. It did make me wonder why. Why disappear at that moment? Because perhaps from that point onwards, their faith would no longer depend on seeing him physically. It would depend on believing his word, just as ours does today. My favourite verse comes next. They say, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So did you notice? Looking backwards, they realised Jesus had been there all along. How often do we do that? At the time, we feel confused. We wonder where God is. Months later, perhaps even years later, we look back and realise he was with me all along. He was working. He was guiding. He was protecting. Even when I couldn't see him. Then something wonderful happens. These two exhausted travellers who have already walked 7 miles immediately got up and walked 7 miles all the way back. Nothing could stop them. Nothing could stop them from telling everyone. The road that began in disappointment ended in joy. The road that began in confusion ended in certainty. The road that began with hopelessness ended with worship. An encounter with the risen Jesus changes everything. As I prepared this message, one sentence kept coming back to me. The absence of recognition is not the absence of Jesus. Just because we don't recognize him doesn't mean he isn't there. Perhaps today you're walking your own Emmaus road. Life hasn't turned out how you expected. You're carrying disappointment, questions, grief. Maybe you've even wondered, Lord, where are you? The passage doesn't promise easy answers. It doesn't promise instant solutions. But it gives us something even greater. It promises his presence. The risen Jesus still walks with his people, sometimes quietly, sometimes unseen, often before we recognize him. So let me finish where we started. That picture of Jesus wearing the disguise, it's funny because we immediately know it's Jesus. The disciples didn't have that advantage. They walked with him without recognizing him. Yet once their eyes were opened, everything changed. Perhaps our prayer today should simply be this. Lord, open my eyes. Help me recognize you. When I'm disappointed, when I'm confused, when I can't see what you're doing, help me remember you're still walking beside me. Because the good news from Easter isn't simply that Jesus rose from the dead. It's that the risen Jesus still walks with his people today. Amen.